that off.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear this? Can you hear me, Mother?
I can hear you.
Yeah?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but then I would, with my just my normal ears, you speaking
yeah,
to
that's,
me.
That is true.
So it's difficult to know where to go from here, really.
Got a joke for you.
Go on, then.
I don't mind that Creole food.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll eat it occasionally.
right. I haven't got any for you, sadly.
No,
so
never have.
Get on with it.
This is the Living Spit Podcast. Welcome to the Living Spit Podcast. Listen to the Living Spit Podcast. It's on the way.
Hello!
Hello!
You can tell we've gone a little bit mad over the lockdown because that's just got longer and longer, that, and more ridiculous, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But
I am going a bit mad.
Are you?
Yeah.
What have you done?
Nothing. That's the point.
All right. That's driving you a bit
mad. I am going mad.
Are you?
Yeah. It's, although it is a sunny day today, which makes it better. But yeah, it's hard. I think this one's tougher than the last one.
Yeah, it's tough, this one, isn't it?
I think everybody's saying that, though, so I don't think that's... But we should add the normal caveat.
What's that?
Well, if you're listening to this like in 5 years' time...
Oh, yeah,
we're in... This is January 2021.
I love that we think this podcast is going to have that much longevity. 5 years down the line, people go, oh, I wonder what they were talking about back then.
Let's have a listen.
Let's have a listen and find out on COVID.
They could put this podcast in a kind of...
like a time capsule
like they used to on Blue Peter.
Yeah.
And they could, a copy of the Living Spit Time podcast could be in their time capsule.
Yeah.
Do they still do that on Blue Peter?
I don't know. I haven't watched Blue Peter for years.
It's Goldie Dead.
Is Goldie dead?
Yeah.
What, the rapper or the goldfish?
No, not the oh.
The dog.
The dog. Simon Groom's dog.
When was that you neatly watched it?
1981.
Yeah, I've got, I think, a bit of bad news for you.
Right.
Now, I haven't verified whether Goldie's still alive or not. However, maths entreats me to give you the truth, which is that Goldie's almost certainly long dead.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
because that would mean Goldie would be, what, like 40?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I don't think dogs live that
what
long,
if,
do they?
What if Goldie was half dog, half tortoise?
Now, which half? Would it be a dog with a shell?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Like, I hadn't thought about that. I was just thinking about the longevity, you know.
Kind of. Well, it would need to have some tortoisian elements, wouldn't it?
Like, did you just make up the word tortoisian?
I'm not sure it's correct.
I love it. Thanks. I love it.
So it's a dog with a shell, basically.
Would it not be tortillion?
Yeah. Well, is it a turtle or a tortoise?
Well,
or are they the same?
I don't know. There's tortoise. There's tortoises, there's turtles, and there's terrapins, isn't there? And I'm not really sure about which is which. I think the tortoise is essentially land dwelling.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the turtle is
kind of
aquatic.
Aquatic, yeah.
But then so is a terrapin.
Yeah. Terrapin does both, though. It's got
terrapin.
Best of both.
I tell you what, if you were going to, like, if you were going to... I mean, I know there have been the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, yeah, well, there have been them.
But but if you were going to choose a turtle superhero, I would definitely choose the name Terrapin.
Yeah.
Because it's got it's got terror in it.
Yeah, which implies you're really hard anyway.
And a turtle reminds me of, well, shitting, doesn't it? Because you talk about a turtle's head.
Turtle head coming out,
And tortoise just
really
in, you know, the hair in the tortoise, slow and boring, you know.
Put them in a box under the stairs.
Yeah, if you were... It would definitely be Terrapin.
Yeah.
What would the costume be?
It'd be, you'd have to wear like a red bandana.
Yeah, because
like,
they got some red eyes.
Red eyes on their ears. And like a spiny shell.
Spiny?
And where your hands are, just claws. Like
Wolverine.
Because they've got little claws, Terrapins, haven't they? They're horrible little things, really. My brother used to have one as a pet.
Did he?
Yeah. It was called Igor. And,
that's a good name for
he
a
used terrapin. To feed it shrimps, and he'd go, "Watch this!" And he'd hold the shrimp over by the terrapin's mouth, and it would just slowly go like that. But a couple of times, it got his finger. And
really,
they haven't got any teeth, but they got a real hard little mouth that can get its, you know, little jaws around your hand.
I have heard that they're vicious.
Oh, they're
vicious little buggers.
Oh, they are. They are.
That was the best opening to a Living Spit podcast.
Is that the opening?
Well, I don't know.
You better do the hello again.
We've done the hello.
That's done.
This is solid gold.
This is solid gold.
I was going to say radio entertainment. It's not really, is it?
If you've just tuned in thinking you're listening to a documentary on Radio 4 about terrapins and turtles and tortoises, I'm afraid You're wrong. You're actually listening to The Living Spit Podcast. With me, Stu McLaughlin.
And me, Howard Coggins.
Yeah, that's us. So, yeah, we're back with another podcast.
Yeah, how do we get onto turtles? It was Goldie, wasn't
Goldie.
It?
Goldie.
Yeah, that's it.
Goldie from Blue Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
Blue
good. Peter. That was good. I like that.
Yeah.
So there we go. What would he be called, the superhero? The Terrapin.
The Terrapin.
Obviously. Because it's the most vicious sounding of all the aquatic shell-based little reptile things.
And if we've got any younger listeners,
which we surely
my daughter watches she doesn't listen to this, but she does watch Blue Peter. If we've got any younger listeners who still watch Blue Peter, then please let us know what the current Blue Peter animals are called.
Yeah, because I remember Carrie and Oakie, the cats. Do you remember those?
No, I don't.
It was sort of mid-90s.
I was going to say, you're 9 years younger than me. So mid-90s, I was living in Clifton with my wife.
You were getting off with people at bus stops.
No, that was long after that.
Okay.
Mid-90s, I'd finished college and stuff.
So we had Bonnie, was it Bonnie?
I remember Bonnie.
The dog.
Yeah.
And then they had Carrie and Oakie, the cats.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the tortoise was called, but I remember they had an episode where the tortoise got put in a little shoe box under the stairs and go, this is how they hibernate, give them a bit of lettuce.
Do you remember when we were rural touring once, we went to a... we were staying because they put you up in rural touring.
Oh, yeah.
And we stayed at this place where he was talking. Were you there? Were you in that one? Or was that
Trimo? Had a pet tortoise.
They had tortoises and they had to put them in the fridge for the winter.
Oh.
And I said, what, the fridge? You can't put them in the fridge. He said, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Oh. And apparently it is. But he did say, what you have to remember to do, if you go away, you don't have to do anything with them. They're hibernating.
Right.
What you have to do is occasionally open the door, otherwise they suffocate.
Oh my God. Oh God.
I know. So you have to kind of get somebody to come round. If you go away over Christmas, you have to get somebody to come round, open the fridge door so that your tortoises don't suffocate.
Well, there we go. You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
This is infotainment, folks. Well, welcome to the Living Spit Podcast. Now, we've sort of run out of shows to talk about, haven't
we?
But we're going to carry on.
Yeah, because we've got nothing else to do.
No. So we've just come here to talk about other things instead. Now, this is quite an experimental branch of the podcast.
It is, yeah.
We're branching out into other areas.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, so we're going to talk today about what we... Actually, I think I might have forgotten to think of any. So it's going to be a pretty short segment.
Yeah, it will be quite short.
No, I've got a couple.
Okay.
We're going to talk about what we would do if we ruled the world.
Yeah, it's a big
question. Now, you, Stuart, have prepared a jingle, haven't you?
Well, no.
Right, okay. So the conversation went like this. Last week, we had a chat. We said, we're going to do another podcast. We'd rather do that. And I said, we could have a new, jingle like based on the Fugees song, If I Ruled the World.
There's a jingle.
There you go.
Just have that.
But, right, and so Stu said to me, he said, because there's quite a lot of work goes into this podcast, apart from just sitting here and chatting in front of a microphone. There's a bit of, prep in advance. We do a running list and there's an edit afterwards. So it's not massive, but it's a few hours work.
Yeah.
And Stu said to me, he said, I'll do the jingle if you do the kind of edit and the running list. I went, that's fine. So
I have got a jingle, but it's a live one.
No, it's not.
Ready?
Here we go.
If I ruled the world, what are the things that I would do if I ruled the world and was a king or queen? The end.
You wouldn't be a queen, though, would you?
Well, no, but to extend the invitation to the audience, what would you do
if
you ruled the world? If you were the king or queen. So that was the jingle. So I'd say isolate that, get a bit of reverb on it.
I'm not going to do that.
Send it to Jonathan King.
No, I'm not.
Wormwood Scrubs.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to just leave it exactly as it is.
Okay, right.
So that everybody knows
what
a lazy, good-for-nothing you are.
It's a work of genius. But before we dive into that huge topic, we have got some comments from the audience, haven't we?
So, have we got a jingle for that?
No, we always say this every week, but we end up just going, comments from the audience. So,
you just did it.
There we go.
I'll put a bit of a comment.
Comments from the audience. Right, so you want to go with the first
one? Yeah, so
Hello, Craig, if you're listening, which you're probably not.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Hi, Sue.
Now, I should say, explain, right?
Go on.
Some people have put questions in with their comments.
That's true.
And so we have a different section for questions.
We have to weed out the questions.
Yeah, so we weeded out the questions. So if you're listening to this and you think, hang on, I asked them a question, we'll get to
those
later.
Later.
And also, some people have had some suggestions about what we might
do
in future episodes.
Yes.
And they're great, but we want to hang on to them and then claim them as our own when it comes to the so that's all right with you.
Suffice to say, if you made a suggestion, it's gone into the suggestion box.
Yeah,
and we might be passing it off as our own idea later on down the line.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Sue.
Back to hi guys. I'm making it sound a bit
hi guys
lovely to hear that another podcast is on the way. It's more than on its way, Sue. It's here. It's right here, now you're right listening to it. TBH, to be honest.
Nice. Thanks for this.
January has seemed so long I can't remember much about it. Some good news is that I'm having my first COVID jab today. Now, I don't know what day it was. I could find out.
But it might be. Was it today? No.
No. This came in a couple of days.
Well, we hope it went well, Sue.
And then she's put, stay safe, everyone. XX. Which makes me feel like our listenership is sort of a community.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So she's sending that information out to everyone. Stay safe, everyone. And then we got two kisses. Nice to see Sue hasn't lost a touch on that. A kiss or two from Auntie Sue. That's what we... we say. So thank you, Sue, and I hope you're feeling well after your COVID jab. David Phillips has been on.
Dave.
Good old Dave.
We decided he didn't look like a David.
No, he didn't. He's a David. Yeah. DP. How about DP?
Yeah, DP.
Yeah, okay. All right, DP. Right. He says, firstly, great last podcast. Good to hear you again. Now, it's good to see that David hasn't decided to put any extra punctuation in, as is his normal
although,
regime.
Don't speak too soon.
He says, firstly, great last podcast. Good to hear you again, !! Well, David, it's good to hear from you again.
Hope you're okay.
Yeah.
I wonder whether you've had your COVID jab. I'm not saying that you look old enough to have had it by now.
To be in the vulnerable bracket.
But who knows?
Who knows?
Sarah Kennard. Now, we asked Sarah a question of Sarah,
didn't we?
Last the question was, I want to call her Sarah Tha Kennard.
Yeah.
And she said, Hello. To answer your question, I am Kennard. Come round here and we'll find out. Shots
from
fired.
Sarah. Oh, dear. Right. Moira Nunn says... Yeah. Now, this is a bit of an anecdote. She's going down memory lane here, Howard. She says, my daughter and I remember Howard with rubber glove udders in Beasts and Beauties recap the origins of Henry. Now, I don't know what that last bit's about.
She wants to... I think that might be a suggestion, and we have done that a lot, Moira. Just go back through the vaults.
Listen to... I mean, episode one, we recap the origins of Henry, we're sick of listening to ourselves go on about it, to be honest. But nice memory. Now, tell us a little bit about your rubber glove udders in Beast.
Well, I was in a show back in 94?
No, later than that.
Thank you. 2001. 94, it was, 2004. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I was in this show at the Bristol Old Vic, and it was a real kind of hit. We had this big hit show. I played a series of different parts in it. It was basically eight story, traditional folk tales, of which Beauty and the Beast was one of them. I was in the show with a great actor called Elliot Levy, and he pointed out one time, he said, your parts, because we all played lots of parts, he said, your parts are much better than all the others.
Oh.
And his theory was because the show had originally been done in Norwegian, Norway.
Oh, yes, I remember this,
He had this theory that the National Theatre in Bergen, when they did it, they had a star actor, and they had to give him a load of really choice parts. And that happened to be the kind of character line that I'd got given.
Nice,
So I did have... I had some really nice parts.
You had really good parts.
Toby the Dog. I played the Troll Crone.
Oh, yeah, she was brilliant.
At one point I played this cow in one of the folk tales, and it was just brilliant. It was such a steal because it was one of those parts where you didn't have to do anything, but you just stand there and steal the limelight, and which is
that was brilliant.
Yeah,
and you haven't stopped doing that since.
No, exactly. Stand there, do nothing, steal the limelight. And it involved me being in... I had a very long eyelashes.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah,
I had a rubber glove. As an udder, which I didn't strap on, I just held it in front of me.
Right.
And then I had a skirt, and that was it. Now, can I just check? When I thought about this earlier, I thought, did we use the rubber glove thing in one of our shows?
We did, in the Odyssey.
It was in the Odyssey.
But we didn't have it attached to the cow. Well, did we? Yes, we did. Kate Dimbleby came out with a
cow. That's right. I distinctly remember having an udder.
But it was a decision made by our designer, Katie Sykes.
Yes, so she stole it. And to be fair, she was one of the designers on the original.
There you go, there. So we've caught you, Katie, just rehashing your old work. What are you going to do about it? So yeah, thanks Moira for that little trip down memory lane.
Yeah,
it's helped Howard to remember his lost youth.
Yeah.
How old were you then? 2004?
I don't know. 33. So actually, not my lost youth at all.
No, you could have been a father six times over by then.
I'd already maybe played were, Happy Pappy.
You
by
had,
that point.
Yes.
Father of seven.
Father of seven, or is it eight? So, those are the comments.
Is that it?
That's
right,
it.
Cool. We've got loads of questions, though. So
this episode was precipitated by a comment and a question from Mr. PJ Naylor, Pip.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't actually.
Oh, was it not?
No. Okay. We thought. No, what happened was we thought of it.
Right.
And then we suggested it. And then he commented on that.
Okay. So he says, if you were to rule the world, what would be rule number one? Mine is. Never eat anything bigger than your head.
Right, I'm going to disagree
with
Peach. Hello, yeah, Peach.
By the way,
Right, okay. Pizza.
That is bigger than my head normally, pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, watermelon.
Watermelon.
Although I wouldn't really eat a watermelon, would you?
Not a whole one. I'm not actually that mad on watermelon.
Nah, it's water, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just have a drink.
My daughter loves them, though.
Does she?
Bloody loves them.
Trying to think of things bigger than my head.
That you do?
Yeah.
A puffball. A puffball mushroom.
Well, yeah, I've never actually had a puffball, have you?
No, not me.
No,
but it would be bigger than my head.
Yeah. So we've only found one thing, pizza.
Pizza, so.
And watermelon.
All right, fair enough.
We'll take
that.
You might have a point.
Yeah, we'll take that. I mean, I suppose if a pizza is bigger in area.
Yeah, that's true.
But not bigger in volume.
That is true, yeah. It's flatter.
Yeah.
But larger.
I tell you what, though, I'd give it a bloody good go, whatever it was.
Yeah, I'd give it a good go as well. Okay, so, well, I've got more questions about the question than
okay.
I have answers.
Right,
so,
go for it.
So if I ruled the world, okay.
Yeah.
So my first question is, how have I come to rule the world? Like, what's the circumstances?
Oh, dear, this is
That's my
so...
first question.
Right,
me.
Go on.
Yeah, well, what is it?
It's such a stew thing to say. Actually, it's not. It's a Craig thing to
it
say.
It is quite a thing.
If we put this in a show, you go, well, how have I come to you?
What was the conversation backstage?
Do we know the answer? No, we don't.
Okay,
so this is basically an excuse to talk about little things that irritate you or
This is it. This is why I want to be clear on how I got here. So
okay,
because it's going to be tempting, isn't it, to slip into sort of political rhetoric.
Oh yeah, no, I don't think
what we think is wrong with the world, and that's sort of on a light-hearted comedy podcast.
Well, I think we should steer clear of that. Let's not go for politics. The two that I've got in mind.
Right, give us your first one. Then
oh really?
My first one, yeah.
Right, okay.
So this is day one. You're on the throne.
Yeah.
You said Howard, King Howard.
King Howard.
There you go.
Emperor.
Your,
yeah.
There's your throne. What's your first order of business?
Crocs.
Well, an outright ban.
Outright ban.
Wow.
And I think. Yeah, I mean, not on an outright ban, but anybody who knows the process for making Crocs should be imprisoned for life without...
Who knows the process for making
them? People, the Croc people.
Oh, I see. So like,
what I'm saying is,
a Croc meister.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that not only should Crocs be banned, and I don't think I'm alone in this. I think most people would be happy with this.
Yeah.
I think that it shouldn't be possible for you to know how to make Crocs. I think all that knowledge needs to be gone.
So
all the blueprints.
It'd be fairly easy to trace the current like Crocsmiths.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? And root them out.
Yeah.
Get them to sling their hook.
Yeah.
Burn the plans to make them. I'm assuming this plan is basically a shoe with some holes punched in it.
Yeah.
So it'd be pretty. But that's it. What would you do with the underground groups who start getting normal like clerks and putting holes in them and go, you know, because there's going to be splinter groups that go up with the Crocs. There's going to be these underground gangs.
Listen, I rule the world, Stu.
But you can't rule every nook and cranny. You can't keep your eye on every
splinter
group.
You've already, like, it was a simple footwear problem, and you've already turned me into a despot.
It's going to be tough to rule the world.
I tell you, no one said it was
going to be easy.
What's great is you've really got into this ruling the world thing.
Yeah.
Whereas I was expecting you to ask me what the problem with Crocs is.
No, I can see clearly what the problem with Crocs are. I too find them disgusting. My brother-in-law wears them, and he's all right. I mean, I don't think he goes out of the house with them. He goes in the garden.
I have known him go out of the house. It's not acceptable. Right, okay, so there is an argument that in the comfort of your own home, you can wear whatever you like. Yeah. And I think that's probably fair enough, isn't it?
Fair,
you know?
I'm not
a complete...
You're not a monster.
I'm not a monster. If you want to wear clocks in your home, if you can wear them in the garden, just about. If it's your own garden, right?
Yeah.
But... never anywhere else, not even on the beach, as far as I'm concerned. Basically, I don't want to see them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I think a maximum of two people viewing them at any one time is the absolute ceiling, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Any more than that, you've got to take them off or tell one person to leave.
Yeah. And can I just add to this a little kind of caveat?
You're the king. You can add what you like.
Can I also add, and this is a young people thing mainly.
Yeah, go on.
It's the wearing of any kind of... leisure wear, relaxed leisure wear as normal clothing. Right,
okay.
So
give me an example.
Jogging bottoms, basically, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah. So you can wear jogging bottoms,
sure.
Right. If you're jogging,
yeah,
or you're at the gym,
right.
Just about if you're on your way to or from the gym,
yeah,
yeah.
And in your home, still
and in your home, still,
that's fine.
Where will you like?
But if you're at Tesco,
but never, ever, ever anywhere else.
Mm. I think that's a good rule.
And the young people love them these days, don't they?
Yeah, they love it. Leisure wear out.
I just don't want to see it.
Yeah, motion passed on both of those.
Right,
I think
great.
That's you're the supreme leader. You don't. There's no committee about this.
I like the fact that it's turning into a sort of semi-democracy.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm in this instance, I'm sort of playing out the role of your sort of political advisor. all your ideas, I'm putting them out there and making them happen. I'm essentially the producer of this reign.
Great.
And I'm happy to be that.
Right. Good.
So those two rules, two motions have been passed.
Okay. Great. Talking about that, I need the toilet.
Anything else?
No. There is another one, but you can do one.
Okay, so I've still got more questions about the ring.
Okay, go on.
Now, am I the ruler in the sense that Queen Elizabeth is the ruler in that I rule and reign supreme? However, I'm not allowed to make any rules about society.
I think I
reign from a distance.
No, I think less Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Think more Kim Jong-un.
Ah, I see. Okay, yeah, this is clearing it up for me now.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So my first, I'm going to give with one hand and take with the other.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to be a kindly king.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to have a hard edge.
Right.
So my first decree: free sweets for all.
Right. Okay.
And if you can,
you get a degree in that these days?
Yeah, you get a degree in anything. You get a degree in anything these days. I got a first in free sweets.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of studying. So this is free sweets for all, right? And a vehicle will. Be dispatched to every nook and cranny of the country, giving out these free sweets. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you can't, for any reason, if you've got diabetes or some sort of underlying health condition, you have to wear a green lanyard that says you're exempt from the free sweets. Right?
Hang on, just run this past me again.
So
I think I'm about drifting off in the middle of that.
I saw you.
Okay,
free sweets for all.
Yeah.
Right? And if you can't have the free sweets...
What, because you're diabetic?
Diabetic, underlying health condition, whatever.
Got it.
You have to wear a green lanyard.
Right.
Which says you're exempt from eating the free sweets, right?
Right.
But if you don't have that lanyard, I won't accept exempt unless you've got the lanyard. The system's in place, so you'll have to eat the free sweets.
So you're basically compelling people to eat free sweets.
That's right. I will force happiness upon my people. My peoples.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That's my first rule.
Okay.
Second, nice rule.
Can I just... Right. Oh, right. Okay, that's the nice one. All right. Sorry, these covers are paired, are they? Right, okay.
Yeah,
good.
Nasty one.
Yeah.
Bring back capital punishment.
Right.
Right. But only... Hear me out. But only for people who listen to music on their phone without any headphones.
Right,
just on the speaker.
You know what? I mean, I don't know about the sweets thing, but definitely.
You with me on that?
Yeah, definitely.
Because you can't hear it properly.
Yeah.
And you're also forcing the rest of us to not hear it properly. You know what I mean?
It is one of those things that it's it's a bit like... Now, I was a smoker years and years ago. You were a smoker.
I was, yep.
Right, but... I used to get so annoyed when people smoked near me when I gave up. Well, only because, especially when I was eating, you kind of think, if I came over there, right, and pissed in your chips, you wouldn't like that, would you?
No.
Because it would ruin the meal that
you
were eating.
It would ruin the meal, yeah.
And I always used to think, Well, you're doing the same with your smoke.
Yeah.
And I say that as a former smoker, so I'm effectively a hypocrite.
It's a good analogy. You'd only be able to taste the pissy chip.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody wants that.
Exactly.
Nobody wants pissy chip. You can just isolate that, stick on a t-shirt. Nobody wants pissy chips.
But I feel the same about the music thing.
I know what you mean.
It's like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. We don't want to hear it. It's like, just to go back to the smoking thing. I remember Mount Stevens, the baker. Do you remember Mount Stevens as a brand?
Weird fact, right?
Go on.
You know the police and crime commissioner for the Avon and Somerset Police?
Well,
is a woman called Sue Mount Stevens.
Oh, yeah.
She's from the Mount Stevens Bakery.
The Mount Stevens dynasty.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that is mind blown.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of... How did it branch off into police work?
I don't know. Well, I don't think she got the job on her bacon connections.
Right. So can you do anything else? I can make a lovely pasty. in a smoky cafe, because that was the thing about Mount Stevens, was that you'd go in. This is about 1986, '78. So you'd go in. Right, my mum would be shopping. Right, let's go to Mount Stevens and have a pasty.
Right,
all right, mum. All right, and we go.
All right, mum. Like
twisted my arm. Off we go. So we go in Mount Stevens. They say, "Do you want the smoking section or the non section?" We'd go non, please, and they'd sit us down. The smoking section was the chair next to us. There's no divide. That was the smoking and non-section. So, yeah, we had, you know, pissy chips to use your analogy. Anyway.
But so music. Oh, definitely.
Music on the phones.
I do a lot of camping, as we know. And it is my... people playing music on campsites.
It's awful, isn't it?
Does my head in.
Just pop a pair of headphones on, I say.
Yeah, exactly.
And then enjoy to your heart's content. Well, if I was ruler, it'd be instant. You'd be strung up.
Right.
Instant.
Wow.
Instant.
Wow.
When and I'd encourage instant. People to dob in, much like your, you know, the crocksmiths.
Yeah.
That people want you to dob in. I'd encourage people to dob in their mates if they had the phone on listening to it.
Wow.
And that'd be it. Just instant capital punch. But I give out free sweets.
Right.
Yin and yang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But what worries me about this free sweets thing is the compulsion.
Yeah.
It's not like, have some free sweets if you want them, and there they are. They're available to you. It's like, you have to have them unless you've got a reason not to have them.
You have to have the reason. I mean, the reason's fine. You just apply for the exemption and wear the green lanyard, and then you don't have to have them. But until that happens, eat the bloody sweets.
Right.
Yeah? Okay. They're free.
Right.
And
right.
That's sort of, I mean, I can't think of much else.
Is that it?
That's pretty much it. I mean...
Well,
I think I would go... What I'd do is I'd start with those two rules. I'd settle into the role.
Yeah.
And then I'd just see where the role took me.
Like a hot dog sausage. You'd settle into the role.
I'd settle into my little role.
Wait till someone would chuck me mustard and chips.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'd do. What, have you got another one?
I got another one, yeah.
What else would you want?
I've probably got several.
Do yours involve capital punishment?
Well, they can.
Because you've got quite a fascination with capital punishment.
I find capital punishment abhorrent. And I'm sorry, there's probably people listening to this podcast who don't agree with me. And we said we weren't going to go into political, and that's fine. We don't. Yeah. You know,
I also, just to clear it up, I am joking about. I also do think capital punishment is abhorrent. So just to clear this up, in case someone goes, "Well, Stu likes it, so bring back hanging."
Yeah.
I'm only joking.
Yeah.
Right. Disclaimer.
However, I am strangely morbidly fascinated with methods of capital punishment.
You are, aren't you?
And I don't. It's a bit like watching a horror film or something, or a violent film. That you kind of. I hate the idea of violence, but there's something about that I don't know. I can't explain it.
It's the same with, like, I'm fascinated with serial killers. Like, that's not. I don't want to do it, but I look at him and go, I just find them so compelling.
Yeah.
What makes them that way?
Yeah.
So different from other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I find it disgusting and abhorrent, same as you, but I'm sort of drawn to it like a moth to a flame. So what? Tell us about you. Where did your fascination begin with? This is a kind of side.
Yeah,
note.
I was going to say.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I like it. I mean, I don't know. It fascinates me the ways that the myriad possibilities there are.
Quite a lot of options,
and there are. It's the kind of. I'm not going to go through them because it's a bit disgusting.
Yeah.
You might not want
to. It's a family podcast, isn't it?
Not really. But they're just methods that people have come up with to kind of dispatch other people.
Yeah.
And the kind of, you know, the kind of convoluted ways just to make it as unpleasant as possible.
Yeah, all the torture involved
and
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Sad. So there'd be none of that in your reign then, would there? No capital punishment?
I don't think so, no. I actually believe... Oh, we are getting onto the political
now.
We are, yeah.
We've got to steer away
from
this.
I'm going to give the offer a pick.
Yeah, have you got any knob gags? No. That'll help to lighten the mood.
Hang on. No.
Never mind.
I have got another one that I do whenever
What?
Well, it's on the subject of death, really.
Is it?
I would ban, and you know this, I would ban use of the word past as a euphemism for dying. I hate it so much, and it's now become the thing that you say. And I don't really understand it. I don't understand why. Like, we've got a word which is died,
and we've also got a euphemistic term as well, which I don't think you your vitriol isn't directed towards this. When people say passed away, that's not doesn't bother you so much, does it? Oh, it does. Maybe it does.
I think it does. It bothers me less.
Yeah.
It bothers me less. I don't think we need either of them. I think it's okay to say somebody died. You know, it doesn't... It's not less... The idea that somebody's going to be less upset if you say passed away...
Yes, but I can see, like, in a social situation, like, say you're all, I don't know, talking about your granddads or something like that, and they say, oh, what about your granddad, Stu? And I go, oh, he died.
You don't have to say it like that.
Oh, he died.
He
passed away last year. And they go, oh, I see. It cushions the blow slightly.
Yeah, I don't. You see, it doesn't.
But I would never say, he passed.
It's this idea that you have to be, we have to be coy about it. It's like, you know, it's like everybody, it happens to everybody.
True.
It's unpleasant for all involved. Mm. Unless you're a serial killer, which presumably it's not. it is, you know, it's we don't need a euphemism for it, surely.
In this day and age, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Right, well, there you go.
So, there you go. That's
hang on. So, that's quite ironic. So, if people use the word past, you would issue death upon...
No, I just said that.
Okay,
I wouldn't
bring what would the punishment be?
A stern talking to.
Right, just that.
Yeah.
From you or from one of your advisors?
From one of my advisors in the first instance. Yeah, and then in a second offence, it would be me.
Right, you're going straight to the headmaster now.
Yeah, well, I am the headmaster. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you'd be like, what would you say? Let's do the situation. Right, I've just said, oh, my granddad passed. And someone comes in, right. Come with me. I go, oh, what happened? What are you doing? I work for the king. Come with me, right? And they have a stern talking to me. And I go, all right, fine. Snap wrist. I go away again. Someone says, oh, where's your granddad these days? I go, oh, he's passed. Oops. The man comes back. Right, that's it. Straight before the king. They come into your chambers.
Yeah.
Right? The doors are thrown open. You're there on your throne. Gold.
Yeah.
All around you. Gold crown. And I'm thrown at your feet. And I go, please, royal sovereign, it was a mistake. I just made a mistake. It slipped out of my mouth. I'm here at your mercy. What is your message for me?
I'd say, well, Stuart, if I may call you that, I can call you what I like, I'm the king.
Yeah.
You, as I understand it, said the word passed.
I did.
As a euphemism for the word died.
I did, but it was a mistake.
Not and interested. I'm not interested.
Now he's passed. He died.
You just done it again.
Oh, no.
Right.
Oh.
What I'm going to say to you is, if you do this again...
Yeah.
I'm going to be really cross. Go on, you go.
So you're not... Okay, just before I leave, you're not cross now then?
Well, I am cross,
right, but
I'm
really
holding it back.
So okay.
Yeah.
So
next time, I won't hold it back.
Fourth offence, there'll be some punishment.
Yeah.
Right, just so we're clear. Thanks a lot, Your Sovereign Royal Royal Highness Majesty.
Yeah.
Bye!
Have you learned your lesson?
Oh, I'm glad he didn't make me kill me, because I would have passed away. Oh no! I've done it again!
I know. Let's leave it there.
Tune in next week to see what happens to Stuart after he uses the euphemistic term past and is thrown before King Howard again. Anyway.
So, have you not got another one then?
Not really.
Have you not got something that really irritates you?
I know one of yours.
Go on,
I think one of your laws would be, because this is something that I know really annoys you. When you're driving along and a sign comes up that says, slow down. And they don't want to, like, give you a ticket. They're just telling you to slow down. But they don't want to do anything about it. And I've been in many a car journey with you where you've gone, oh, that annoys me so much. Either give me a ticket or shut up.
Yeah, I do. Would
that be one?
Well, yeah, it's that kind of like... I don't like any kind of passive-aggressive kind of notices.
It's like
people set themselves up as in charge of you. I mean, I accept that I have to stay within the law, you know? I mean, and I don't think that I... I don't, you know, don't think, I don't break the law if I can possibly avoid it. But I, what I don't want is somebody saying, look, I'm not going to, it's like saying, look, I'm not going to, you know, you, I can't think what it's like I'm saying. You know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. One of mine would be, I think, when people put signs in front of their garage that say, no parking, 24-hour use required. And I want to knock on their door and say, you're a liar, because no one's out there at the moment.
There's nobody there at the moment.
I could park there, but no, I'm not going to. I'm not a monster. Yeah. But I think those people, I'd have them strung up.
And also, the chances of them needing it at 4 o'clock in the morning is like, you know, they should put 18 hours required.
Or maximum. Yeah,
you know?
16 to 18 hours required, depending on what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Knock to inquire. And then you go, excuse me, what are you doing today? Well, I'm away at 4 o'clock. Great, can I park there for half an hour?
Or just put a sign that says, please don't park here. It's really annoying when we get blocked in.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw one the other day. It's another, while we're on the passive-aggressive notes. I was walking the dog. The little note on someone's garden. It said, no, it wasn't their garden, it was like a shared field, and it said, if you let your dog shit here, I'm going to make sure you get it back. And I thought, how? Like, if you can see me doing it, you'll know who I am.
I hate those ones. That, yeah, you know exactly. I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just aggressiveness.
Yeah, and that, I think there's ones, and look, let's be clear about this.
Yes.
Dog shit's really annoying.
It is annoying.
And it annoys me as a dog owner.
Yeah, definitely, me too.
And it's horrible. People, but those signs that have gone up, and I don't know if they're all over the country or just in Clevedon, that goes, there's no such thing as the dog poo fairy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, piss off.
Yeah, it's so condescending, isn't it? We got dogs. 98% of us know what our responsibilities are.
And do it.
It's just
and do you
2%.
Really think that the 2% that don't pick it up are going to be affected by the use of a sign that says, there's no such thing as the dog poo fairy?
Who's going, oh, I thought there was one. I'll pick it up in future. No one. So they'd be, right, they'd be in prison. Our prisons are getting quite full as the kings, aren't they?
Yeah.
What are some of the nice things that you do?
I wouldn't do anything.
You wouldn't do anything.
I mean, the whole point is that I'm a kind of a dictator.
Yeah, yeah. You'd foster a robust sense of fear amongst your peoples, would you?
Can I just say, if anybody's a dictator, and you're scared by them, what you need to imagine is that they've got a penis like a spud. Because that's what it is, didn't it?
A dictator.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, well, there you go.
I think we've sort of talked this out.
Let's leave it on that dictator.
Now, what we would like for next week, it won't be next week, trust me, but for the next podcast, is can you send us the things
that you would do?
That you would do.
Yes.
If you were king, obviously Pitt did do that. No, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. Yeah.
That's a good rule. Yeah. That's a good rule, Pitt. Yeah. It's obviously worked for you. If you've got anything that you would do, let us know. Yeah. Either by writing on our Facebook wall or on give us a message or, you know, send us an audio clip and we'll put it into the podcast.
Or come round to our houses, knock on the door, say hi.
You mentioned you wanted to hear ideas and we'll go, I didn't mean in person, but... You know we're not supposed to. Yeah, that's awkward. Go away.
Yeah, maybe come back at the end of COVID.
Yeah, come back again. Or don't.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, if I'm honest. let us know. And you can do that all the usual channels. You can get in contact with us on Instagram and Twitter.
Yep.
We're at Living Spit. And on Facebook, just do a search for Living Spit and you'll find us on there. Just message us, whatever. Also, we've got a GoFundMe page. Is that still active, Howard?
Do you know what? I haven't checked it.
I haven't checked it, but I haven't disactivated it.
No.
Deactivated.
Disactivated.
Non-activated it.
Unactivated it.
So that is out there. And the address is, Howard?
It's gofundme.com/livingspit.
Well,
no.
That'll get you it.
Will it?
There's a weird F in there somewhere. It's like livingspit.com/F/.
Just go to GoFundMe, put in Living Spit in the search, and you'll find it. Well, do we have to do all the work for you?
Just give us money, damn it. Right, okay.
So we've got the next up on the list.
Next up, what we got?
Random LS song recording to break things up a bit.
Oh, what we got?
And do you know what, Stu?
What we got?
Today is your lucky day.
And I get to choose.
Because you get to choose.
Oh my goodness me. Well, in that case, Howard, I am going to choose. Now, I don't know if we've had this before on this podcast. Don't think we have.
Right.
Well, I've got two in my head.
Right, we can't have both. You've got to choose one or the other.
Okay, they're both from... Well, one of them is from the Fabulous Bacon Boys.
Right.
And one of them is from Tortoise v Hare.
Right, okay.
I'm going to go with... Okay, I'm gonna go with.
Right, they gotta be ones that you know we've got a recording
with. Yeah, I know we've got both of these. We've got a recording with. I'm gonna go with Toby and Nina from Forest versus Hare. Now, have we had that on the podcast before?
Yes, I think we have.
Right, I'm not gonna go with that. Right, okay. I'm gonna go with Wade W. Wolf, He Was Your Grampy. Have we had that on the podcast?
Not sure, but I think it's a good choice. Let's okay. Go with that. Well, here it is. This is from Tortoise versus
Hare.
This is from Fabulous Bacon Boys. And it is Wade W. Wolf, He Was Your Grampy.
Wade W. Wolf, he was your grampy. Wade W. Wolf, he was my grampy. Your grampy was the kingpin in a tangled web of crime. It may seem hard to swallow, but it wasn't at the time. The details I could give you, but they'd be superfluous. Deadly diddly, cause the audience have heard it and they're way ahead of us. But here's a bit that's new to them, the very sorry tale of how your grampy lost the plot when he was put in jail. He was doing okay, but then one day through curiosity, diddly diddly, he licked a bar of soap, contracted hepatitis B. Diddly diddly, Wade W. Wolf, he was your grampy. Wade W. Wolf, he was my grampy. He got the proper treatment and the symptoms seemed to ease, till finally the doctors said he'd shaken the disease. That night he stole a sausage from the prison refectory. Diddly diddly, he ate the stolen sausage and contracted BSE. Bovine spongiform encephalopathy. To cut the story short, the virus ate away his brain, until last February, when he was certified insane. I could go on, but since we're pushed for time, I'll cut the crap. He died a week ago, and now I'm giving you this map.
I love that song.
Oh, that banjo.
That banjo was brilliant, wasn't it? Tuning it up for every show. Yeah.
And the great thing was, so I play the banjo. We both play the banjo. Stu plays banjo better than me, but we both play the banjo. And we have one banjo in the company.
There is one.
And this banjo, the trouble is that Stu... learned the banjo. I play the banjo in the original proper banjo tuning. Stuart just tunes it like a guitar.
Hence me being better at you. Because I just play it like something I already know how to play.
Which is fine, and it works, because it's not far off. But,
it's not far off.
But what happens is, every time we get the banjo out, we have to work out who was the one last one to play it, and then tune it the different way. And my memory's not great, so I can never remember what the actual notes are. Yeah. So I always have to look it up.
And you have to relearn all those chords every time.
Yeah. Exactly, but it was great fun. I loved playing that song.
You were Tony and in that, weren't you? And you're 90 years old, and your performance got more and more ridiculous. I'm sure we talked about this on the Bacon Boys bit, but it got so ridiculous. Mind you, mine was pretty ridiculous as well. I was wonderful, a middle-aged woman. So you know, but that was great, great fun. So that was just to break things up a little bit.
Yeah,
and if we were all the world, maybe we'd have all the music in the world being. Our songs.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I'd like the royalties.
Okay, right. So we're going to go to some...
Questions of Romilly, are you?
And...
Another some audience questions.
Okay, first up, we have Patch Warner. He's a guy I went to school with. Yeah. Hi, Patch. I don't know if he listens. Does he listen? Are you listening? I do. Hi, Patch, if you are. Patch says, if you opened your front door, Howard... You didn't say Howard, I added that.
No, yeah,
if you opened Howard, and found £1 million in cash in a holdall, what would you do?
Right, let's start.
Yeah.
And I left it in because it was Patch's spelling of the word holdall.
Holdall.
Which is spelled H-O-L-D-E-L.
That's very strange. How would you spell it? It's hold all.
Hold all, because it's what it does.
Well,
hold
I'd begin all. Then by buying Patch some grammar and spelling lessons.
Yes.
Because obviously his education at the Grange School with me didn't cut the mustard.
No.
Because he's still misspelling.
Did you learn how to cut mustard at school?
We did, yeah. What happened was Mr. Hutchins came in one day with a pot of mustard and a knife. And he said, right, we're going to cut this now. And we did.
Great. But you didn't learn how to spell Holdall.
No, apparently not. It must have been away the Holdall spelling lesson that we had. So that notwithstanding, what would you do with the cash?
I'd give it to
me,
my friends,
me,
and relatives.
Me,
yeah. So you count twice.
Yay! Double the money! Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
How much would you give me?
I'd give you 35 pence. You look disappointed. I've just given you 35 pence for doing nothing.
That's shit.
What?
35 pence.
All right. £3.50.
What? It's £1 million.
That's 10 times the amount that I've just offered you.
At least 10,000 of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're not getting anything now.
Right.
You've been greedy.
You can shove your 35p up your ass. Okay.
Seriously? I don't know. I tell you what you know what I'd do.
What would you do?
Well, I'd buy a little building and turn it into a theatre.
Because every time we go past a building, you go, I'll buy that place, turn it into a theatre. So you'd buy a little building and turn it into a theatre with all the cash that would entail, which would be a lot, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I would give some to my friends, colleagues, and family members.
How much would you
give? I'd give you at least £20,000. No, I wouldn't. So no, after the 35p debacle. I don't know. I think I'd buy a nice house and a nice... I wouldn't buy a nice car, like a fancy car.
No.
I'm not into that. I'm sure, Patch, you are, because you're a kind of...
petrol head.
A petrol head, exactly. I'm sure you are. He's a football mad guy, isn't he, Patch? So
I reckon he'd probably buy a sweaty
Bristol City.
Gary Lineker's sweaty shirt from when he played at
I don't know. Are you a fan of Gary Lineker, Patch? Would he be one of the ones you go for? Probably not. He'd have a Bristol City player. He's obsessed with Bristol City. So
I don't know any Bristol City
me
players.
Me neither. But if you want to listen to them talking about Bristol City, which they do a lot, then please tune in to Patch's podcast, which is Three Peeps in a Podcast. In fact, episode 52, I think, we're on it.
I can't... I remember doing it, and it was great.
It was great.
But I can't remember you... I can't believe you know the actual number.
Well,
I don't know what number we're on our own podcast.
20-something or 23?
This is 22.
22, okay, yeah.
So I did know, actually.
You did know.
But only because I did this earlier.
Yeah. So, there you go, Patch. I hope that answers your question. We haven't answered it at all.
No.
What would you do, Patch, if you found £1 million in a Holdell?
It's 100,000. Oh, no, it's £1 million.
It's a million.
Take it back. I'm sorry.
Take it back. Anyway, so
okay.
Let's move on.
So this is from Sarah Fuckinard. Right. What is Desert Island Discs? I don't know whether that's a question.
Well, now, you had another question. You obviously didn't.
No, I put it together, I think.
Oh, you put it together.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, right.
What is Desert? And then she answers this. The format is simple. So it was a rhetorical question.
Like, what am I doing?
Well,
I'm cooking.
I'll tell you. Yeah, so
exactly.
So imagine that sort of tone.
She's cooking.
What is Desert Island Discs? Well, I've had
that. I like the word.
The format is simple. A guest is invited to choose it. We all know what Desert Island Discs is.
What do you think it is, Sarah? What are you with? Plebs?
Okay, so I'm not going to read out.
I want to know what Desert Island Discs is.
So,
I'm imagining.
So a guest is
know.
Invited to choose 8 discs, a book and a luxury to take with them as they're cast away on a mythical desert island.
Ooh.
They're given the complete works of Shakespeare and the Bible. My question is thusly.
Right, go on, Sarah.
What would be your desert island items? Reduce your disc numbers for brevity if required.
Well, hang on. She doesn't want us to go through all the discs, does she?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we should choose like 2 or 3.
Ooh.
That's more difficult, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't choose discs. I'd need some time.
I had to do this once for...
Yeah.
I was on... Years ago, I was working with Bristol Old Vic, and Keith Warmington on Radio Bristol. Used to do a late night thing, and he used to get people... Like, well, basically people like me, actors and, you know, singers and stuff and other people to come in and choose. And I think he called it was called something like Bronze, Silver and Gold or something.
Right.
And you had to choose 3 records, basically.
Your
and
bronze
he would
and
play them and talk
gold.
To you about them.
Yeah.
Which was great. It's a good item.
Yeah, lovely item. Love
And it's impossible. I mean, it's just basically impossible because it depends on the day and your mood. And
well, that's why they make you choose 8, isn't it?
Yeah, but even that's impossible.
One a week, one a day.
I always say, when people ask me what my favourite song is, I always say Together in Electric Dreams by Phil Oakey and Giorgio Moroder.
It does make you weep, doesn't it?
It does make me weep,
Every time it comes on, I go, oh, here we go.
As does, this also makes me weep, Underneath the Stars by Kate Rusby.
Yeah, that's a classic. That makes you weep as well.
So that makes me weep. What else?
Would you want to weep on a desert island?
No, really.
Oh, yes. You want to be moved, don't you? There'd be nothing to do.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to do now. At least you can make a rap.
It depends on how you want to feel, really, don't you? You put music on to kind of make you feel... I tell you what I do love at the moment.
What?
And it, unfortunately, it's the theme to Death in Paradise, one of my bros. But I found the original recording.
Oh, yeah.
It's called You're Wondering Now. And it's a brilliant, brilliant song.
Oh, nice.
I'll play it to you later.
Yeah, well, okay.
So there you go. There's three for
you.
Well,
what would your luxury item be?
My luxury item?
And bear in mind, you can't have anything that would help you to escape or in any way.
I mean, the obvious thing is a guitar, isn't it? Mm. And I think you just have to steer away from stuff like that because it's so
boring.
Obvious.
Yeah.
And you know, I could write the songs that I always wanted to write. Well, I've got lots of time at the moment. I'm not doing that now. So
yeah,
I would take. Oh, this is hard.
That is hard. I'm
I tell you what, you do your records, and I'll think.
Well, I'm not going to give away my records because I hope still one day to be on the actual Desert Island Discs.
What I love about that is twofold, right?
Yeah.
One is that you think you're going to be on Desert Island Discs.
That's right.
And the other is that if by some miracle that happens, anybody's going to give a shit that you've given them away on
that,
some podcast.
Oh, you've already done this.
2021.
We can't possibly ask you to come on. I'm going to keep my record. Besides, it takes a lot of thought, and I'd need a long time to think about it. You know,
okay.
I've had a long and fruitful life full of music. So,
my God, you're so pretentious.
Yeah. Well. So, what would my luxury item be? Free sweets. I just have a load of free sweets.
Yeah, I think mine would be probably like a chocolate dispenser.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that counts as food, but it's not like nutritious food, so I think we'd be allowed that.
Yeah, you'd be allowed that. It'd be a
lifetime supply of chocolate
there
in a fridge.
It's yours.
Yeah, there you go.
It's yours.
Right.
Okay, Eleanor Day.
Yeah.
Says.
That's a great name,
isn't
it?
Eleanor Day.
Sorry, Eleanor. You probably heard this millions of times.
Yeah, it's a great name. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, but also it's like. It's like Eleanor Day.
Right, she says, Howard.
Yeah.
She doesn't say that. But I'm directing at you.
Okay.
Your skin is beautiful. What's your cleansing and moisturising routine?
Well, first of all, thank you, Eleanor, for noticing.
Okay.
My skin is actually beautiful.
Yeah.
What I do is I get up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And I use a thing called a shower bar. We don't have bottles of shampoo and stuff anymore.
Shower bar.
It's like old fashioned soap on a rope, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And I lather up in my hairier regions. I'm not going to lie.
As
we know, that my hairier regions are not my head.
No.
So I get a good lather going.
Yeah.
And then I get that lather. This is actually true.
Right. Yeah.
In the shower.
Yeah.
I get that lather and I rub it all over the bits that need washing,
right,
including my face.
Right.
And then I wash it off. There you go.
Is that it?
Yeah,
no moisturising, no cleansing.
You don't moisturise.
I do moisturise, yeah. I've moisturised just today, in fact.
Right.
You looked at me like you couldn't tell.
No, I was going to say. If you've been moisturising for years.
You might not tell from the outside, but I'll tell you what, it feels like a palace in this
no,
place.
No, I don't moisturise.
There you go, Eleanor.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
What do you do? Well, you've answered it.
Some face moisturiser on, a little bit of beard oil got on there today. So he's looking at me like I've just massaged shit into my...
I'm surprised, that's all. I'm not disapproving. Anyway, there you go, Eleanor. That's our beauty routine. Are we going to manage all these questions?
Well, we'll try it. I'll tell you what, let's go through them quite quick.
Yeah, okay.
By Mike Slater says, when/how/why did you acquire the theatre shop? I actually want to know, lads. It's cool that you have your own theatre shop. Do you ever use it as a shop?
I was just thinking about this,
And
it does. It's delayed gratification for Mike. Do we want to do a little podcast about the shop?
That's an idea. Yeah. Well, let's say we'll answer that question
next time. Tell you what, there we are, Mike.
We'll talk about the theatre shop
next time.
Yes, we will.
And we'll do a little feature on that.
Yeah.
And maybe Trimmer, which
she won't.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next time. You'll get your answer next time, so keep tuning in.
Okay, so next one up is a Stuart's Inquiry.
It's a Stuart's Inquiry.
Now, don't big this up too much, because I've done bare minimum on this.
When you say bare minimum, have you done anything
at all?
Okay, cool.
I'm going to try and make up something off the top of my head.
Brilliant.
Go on then, ask me the question.
So, Sue Mercer. Can you recommend somewhere in the UK for a good holiday in the summer?
Well, Sue, yes and no to answer your question. Yes, I know a few places and I could definitely recommend some. I can't promise that you'll be able to go in the summer. There's a lot of talk at the moment about people trying to book their summer vacations or staycations.
On that subject, that is a thing that I would ban, the word staycation.
Staycation, yeah. Would it?
Yeah. Like there's no need for it. There's no need for it.
Yeah.
We don't use the word vacation in English, British English. Yeah, we use the word holiday.
Talking of which, while we're on word things, another one I would add is instant imprisonment. Just instant incarceration for anyone who uses the word literally when they don't mean literally. That would be one of mine. You know, my head literally exploded when I heard that fact. No, it didn't. Anyway, right, back to Sue. There's literally no staycations at the moment. I've just incarcerated myself. That I can think of that I could 100% guarantee to go at the moment. But having said that, I can tell you some places that I would like to go and I think are nice. So a couple of summers ago, we went to Alnwick, which is very nice up in the northeast. That was beautiful up there.
And what you did was you conquered it, didn't you? And then you declared it a part of your own kingdom, didn't you? So you sort of annexed it, didn't
right,
you?
Right, get out of here. There's the door. Go on, leave. Right.
Okay.
He's still here.
Yeah, folks. Sorry.
So we went to Alnwick, and that was very nice. We went up to Scotland, up to Pitlochry, and that was beautiful. So I could highly recommend going somewhere up there. Plus, you know, it's a different country. You might see Nicola Sturgeon. Say hi, Nick. Right, talking to Nick.
Now,
have we finished this?
Yeah, I think we have.
It wasn't very good, was it? And that was a Stewart's Inquiry.
It's a Stewart's Inquiry.
Very good. It wasn't, but...
It'll do. I mean, basically, these things are an excuse to play in the jingles that we spent time making. So, Nick Smart. Now, Nick, you might be smart, but you have asked too many questions, I think.
Yeah.
So we're going to... There's obviously one that's kind of interesting and two that basically you're taking the piss.
Yeah.
So I'm going to...
Which is fine.
Yeah,
we don't mind
absolutely
that.
Fine. We don't mind that, but we are tight for time. We're going to ask the first one
and then
may get to the last one. We won't be answering the middle one.
Okay. Who, Howard, is... Yeah. This is one from Nick Smart. Who's the most famous person who has said that they like your shows? Is that the first question?
Yeah,
before
I think
carry
so.
On to the
no, yeah, let's ask both of these.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
And what is the swankiest do you've been to as a result of your fame and fortune?
What I love is the idea. I mean, I assume you're taking the mickey, Nick. But the idea that we're anywhere to fancy do's.
Well, we have been.
Yeah.
I've been to a few in my time.
You've probably been to more than me. Who's the most famous person who's said they like our shows?
I've got an answer for that.
I think I've got the same answer.
Go on, you say.
No, you say.
I think Stan Collymore.
Yeah. There's literally one famous person that likes our shows, and he's not even that famous.
No, but it was brilliant to have him in.
And
it?
We say Stan Collymore, and yes, everybody thinks of the footballer. It's not. Who is he?
He's the guitar player from the House Martins. and he was once spotted in the audience of one of our wardrobe shows. Not wardrobe, sorry, it was the brewery.
Yeah.
And he tweeted us to say, oh, I really like your shows. And old Jackie, what's her name? Jackie, the singer of the...
Jackie Abbott.
Jackie Abbott retweeted him, and I felt like, oh God, we've made it here.
Yeah.
And he lives in Bristol. You might be listening, actually. Hi, Stan, if you are. Please come back to one of our shows again when this all blows over. We'd love to see you. So that's probably the most famous person who has said they like our shows. Now, there may be famous people who are just keeping it under their
own. Yeah, who can blame them?
Who can blame them? And Howard, what's the swankiest do you've been to as a result of your fame and fortune?
I don't think I've ever been to a swanky. I tell you what, I did go. I went to the press night of Corum Boy at the National Theatre. And I only went because you were in it.
I was in it. That's one of them. I remember being in a conversation with Philip Pullman.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm talking to Philip Pullman.
I remember being in a four-way with Melly Still, who was the director.
Is this after the party?
Philip Pullman and Nick Heitner.
Wow.
Nick Heitner was at the time the artistic director of the National.
But I think the swankiest do I've been to...
I did meet... Sorry.
Go on.
I did... No, I was doing... I was doing Midsummer Night's Dream at the Bristol Old Vic, and we did a cabaret night one night, and we all had to you know, do a little turn. It was a bit kind of cringy, but we all did a turn. I was there with, and there were some really people who've gone on to be quite famous in that show. Kate Fleetwood and Patrick Kennedy and what's her name, the Northern girl that. Anyway, but Ronan Vibert was in it. He's one of those actors that you'd know. And he'd been to a party and he brought this guy along who'd had connections with Bristol. And this guy was, at the time, just sort of just establishing himself on the telly. And I remember having a conversation with him and... it was Derren Brown.
Wow.
So that's not... It wasn't a swanky do, but
and he
was
watched
a
you do your bit, didn't he?
He watched me do and really liked it.
Liked it. What did you sing?
I sang, I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Classic.
Yeah.
And Derren liked it.
He liked it.
Mm,
yeah.
Lovely.
So there you go. That's the... Yeah. Go on. Swanky do's.
Probably swanky... The swankiest do I've ever been to was the press night. There are always press nights of shows we've been in. Mm. Of Brief Encounter in the West End. It was at Haymarket Hotel. I remember walking along and seeing Ian McKellen standing there chatting to Tamsin Gregg, and then I spoke to both of them, and Ian McKellen said, "You're the glue that holds the whole thing together." And I said, "Oh, thanks very much."
I think he's a bit more northern.
Yeah, go on then.
"You're the glue that holds the whole thing together, lad. Come on. Well, you shall not pass."
That sort of thing.
Yeah, okay, go on.
That was nice. And then I remember there was a big pool in the middle of the party, and we got really drunk and dived into the pool in our clothes, and then we got told off. But it was okay, because it was like that told off when, like, you tell the Who off for wrecking their hotel room. Like, what are you going to do? I'm in a hit show. That's all. The arrogance of youth.
You
know? Yeah, jumped in a pool. Clear up mess. There you go. So that's the swankiest do I've ever been to.
Yeah, basically we don't go to swanky do's.
Nah, if we can help it.
No.
We certainly don't at the moment.
No. There are no swanky do's to be had.
No. Okay, Nick Smart again.
Yeah, well, let's leave this one.
I'll leave that one.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nick.
That's right.
Neil Goodwin.
Yeah.
Gene Brooke would like to know. So he's asking for a friend.
Read out the question, I'll explain.
Gene
the
Brooke would like to know, if you think you'll ever, quote, make it, end quote, onto a soap, Howard. He's specifically asking you, Howard. And if you did... Which would be your preferred choice?
Right, so I'm going to explain. This takes a bit of it. This is a bit of an in joke. So Neil and I used to work together when I was a kind of would say struggling, makes it a job in actor, and I'd had a little job in between acting jobs.
This was
20 odd years ago, where I did market research in
right.
Bristol.
Yeah,
and of course. And Neil used to work there. He's a brilliant bossa nova guitar player, Neil.
Oh, nice.
And he worked there as well at the time. And we had that thing of kind of, when somebody knows you're an actor, they always ask you that question, don't they?
Yeah.
Or they make a suggestion. They kind of
go,
you know what you want to do? You want to get on EastEnders.
And you
kind of go, really? No shit.
Yeah.
So, and we used to joke about that.
Right.
So that's why he's asking. Used to have a thing. He would get in a taxi and with his guitar, and he said that there'd be silence for a couple of minutes, and then the taxi driver would always go, "What's in there now?" And he'd say, "You know, guitar," and he'd say, "Oh yeah, my brother-in-law used to play," and then he'd mime the trombone. He'd say, "My brother-in-law used to play one of those. What's that? What's that then? What's that?" And that would be the conversation.
Right.
It was one of those conversations that actors, people always have advice for you as an actor,
that's
don't they?
That's true. Yeah, they do, don't they? It's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, it is annoying, to be honest.
So who's Jean Brooke?
Jean Brooke was a lady who used to work there.
She wants to know.
Well, I don't. To be fair, I don't know if she ever asked me that, but people used to ask.
Well, but if you did,
what
would be your preferred choice?
Do you know what? I honestly don't. And I know this sounds like such a twatish thing to say. I honestly don't believe if I was offered like a regular or so, I would do it.
No. You know, you could be sort of, you could be Vernon Mitchell. Phil and Grant's long lost brother come back and you have to go, "Hello Phil, I'm back."
I mean, I don't watch soap, so it's difficult for me to for me they're not my thing. And for me it'd be just like walking into like a kind of artistic hell. It'd be like it'd suck all the kind of everything that you enjoy about making work, that's pretentious. But yeah, a bit. Yeah. But to be honest, I do know a couple of people. I've got friends who were long, and they loved it. So maybe I'm wrong, or it's just. So I don't think I'd do it. If I did do it, you'd have to choose something like Home and Away or Neighbours, because then you'd sit on the
lawn together. I love that one.
Love the theme tune. So that you could be in the sunshine.
Yeah, that's that'd true. You could move to Melbourne or whatever.
I do Death in Paradise.
Oh yeah, that's not soap though.
No,
is it?
It's not. No,
I'm sure you'd be good in that though.
Yeah, I want to be the one that dies.
Would you?
Yeah, because then you don't have to do very much, and you just that's go true. And you have a holiday in Guadeloupe.
Yeah, that's true.
Couple of weeks.
Yeah,
couple of days work.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good nice little cushy gig. Yeah. No, do you want to do the rest of these questions, or we should save them until next week?
Reckon let's save. I tell you what, and apologies, Linda Cowley, Christy Lorimer. And Christy Lorimer, we're gonna save your those. Questions because we are running on one, and we'll run on to that one. Okay. So
we've got a very special last question to end on. It's a question for a very specific person. It's for Handyman Howard.
If your decorate is driving you insane and your ball cog is just refusing to drain, he's here with advice, not for financial gain. It's Handyman Howard.
Okay, this one comes right.
He's come from
Sumer. Hi, Sue. She says, can Howard shed any light on chamfered edges?
Chamfered.
There you go. Chamfered edges. Can you?
Well, it depends what you mean by light. I mean, if I wanted to shed light on chamfered edges, I'd use a torch or something. But I don't think she means that.
No.
I don't know what you mean, Sue. I don't know whether you want to know how you achieve a chamfered edge. And I'd probably use a router. With the right bit, or whether you want to know where their use is appropriate, and my answer to that would be wherever you want them to be. It's your thing that you're making. So there you go, Sue. That's how to shine light on chamfered edges.
There you go. So get the right bit out, and if it's appropriate, use it. Put it in the right place. That's the advice of Handyman Howard. Okay, there's another one.
Great.
It's another one for Handyman Howard. This is from our old mate David Phillips. He says, I'm fitting a new vanity unit in the cloakroom next weekend. The new... There's no punctuation in this again, so... No. I'll put my own in. I'm fitting a new vanity unit in the cloakroom next weekend. The new mixer tap comes with a standard 15mm connection, but the feeds are 10mm. Would you recommend a compression reducer, or should I use a solder fitting? Sorry if the punctuation is lacking in any way. ...
So,
over to you, Howard.
So, David, I would say it depends on your soldering skills, really. I mean, if you know what soldering's tricky, and if you know what you're doing, you know, then that's fine. But get it wrong, and you've wasted a fitting, haven't you? Compression fitting's great, but again, you know, is it reliable enough? That's what, and they aren't the most attractive fittings. Now, my recommendation,
go on,
would be a copper push fit. Fitting. I've used them all over my house, and they're great. They're you simply use your pipe cutter to cut the pipe.
Yeah.
You slide the fitting over, push
simple
it in.
That.
Yeah. And it's there. And there are various companies that make them. I mean, it depends. If it's going to be visible, then you can use the copper ones. If not, you can just use your plastic ones, you see.
Yeah.
And the plastic ones work with copper pipe as well. So, and there is a little tool that you can remove them as well. So I think push fits all round.
It's a trade secret, David.
Yeah.
You always see it. Not, but it's for Handyman Howard is. Yeah, so there you go. And now, Howard, I've got a little idea for a show that I'm going to pitch to the BBC.
Okay.
It stars Robson Green and Jerome Flynn.
Yeah.
Right? And it's about those people who do handyman projects by putting little bits of metal on other bits of metal with a sort of iron.
Yeah.
It's called solder.
Okay. Little bits of iron on... Right, okay. No, I'm not going to go into that.
Okay, let's move on. So there we go, David and Sue. Hope those are answered for you from Handyman Howard. Now, when are we going to be coming back, Howard?
No, 2 or 3 weeks, I'd
have
thought.
We're going to talk about the theatre shop, I think. We've decided that.
That's the decision.
Answer Mike's questions. We'll talk about that. In a couple of weeks'
time.
So we'll see you then. There's only one item left in this podcast, isn't it, Howard? It's my favourite. It's your favourite.
Yeah.
It's a listener favourite. It's time
for Howard's End.
Howard's End is gonna end the show for us. Howard's End.
Okay, we've taken a bit of a turn with the podcast this week. And we've gone away from talking about our shows to talking about, well, things that the imaginations about how we might make the world better and or worse if we were in charge. And well, if any of you out there ever end up being a dictator of a nation or even a group of nations, then my advice to you would be try not to be too horrible to your subjects. Try to remember that we are all human beings.
He's going this way with it.
Try to feel the pain that sometimes can be caused by your actions. In other words, try and be kind.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, try come on.
Be kind. If any of you are thinking about becoming a dictator, that is great advice there from Howard. Okay, well, thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. You left a gap. You go for it, and then you sort of stopped.
Well, thank you for listening to us.
I've had an idea, but I'm going to talk to you off camera.
Oh, off camera.
No, not camera. Off mic.
Off mic.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see you all. Well, we won't see you, but you'll hear us hopefully in 2 or 3 weeks' time when we'll be back.
Yes.
So
see you then.
Yeah.
We'll speak to you then.
Yeah. Bye.
The Living Spit Podcast.
Goodbye from
The Living Spit Podcast.
You've been listening to
The Living Spit Podcast.
It's gone away.